This is one in a series of podcasts from Lutheran Education Australia, My Principals Who Serve in Lutheran Education.
Today we're talking with Anton Prinsloo, who is currently principal at St Paul's Primary School in Queensland, a school he's served for the past 11 years. He's worked and taught in three countries, South Africa, New Zealand and Australia, and he's also worked across high school, middle school and primary school settings in both state and independent schools in a range of roles. Anton's first principal role was in a primary school in New Zealand, and he was the foundation head of junior school at Ocean Forest Lutheran College in Western Australia. Anton brings a depth of leadership experience to this podcast. He will focus on principal wellbeing and physical wellness, which was also the focus of a recent presentation to his colleagues at Lutheran Education Queensland. Welcome, Anton.
Hello, Diane. Thank you for having me.
Anton, what first raised your interest in principal wellbeing and wellness?
Coming from a bit of a PE background, I've always obviously maintained some sort of fitness regime for myself, and I've always seen that as the sanity to life away from work and life away from school. And when I became a principal, realized the importance of keeping that going. My first principal job in New Zealand, I quickly came to terms with the fact that it was taking up so much of my time, and time, you know, is the critical factor in this whole equation. And so I explicitly had to start building in a wellness program for myself, more so from a physical point of view, just to have that outlet, etc. And obviously, once one takes on that leadership role, you can quickly see how the impact of long work days not only affect the principal's office, but actually impact on the staff culture, staff wellness. And so when I came across to St. Paul's, it was one of the explicit focus areas that I decided to focus on with the staff. We at that stage were able to sign up to a program run by Independent Schools Queensland, ISQ, and they were launching a school wellbeing and wellness program and initiative. We signed up to it as an expression of interest and were chosen as one of 20 pilot schools across the independent sector in Queensland. So we've had a fairly explicit staff wellness and all staff wellness focus at St. Paul's for the last 9 years now.
Well, that's quite a considerable time. You're talking about both wellbeing and physical wellness. Is there a link between the two? Are they distinguished from each other?
Look, I've always operated from the adage of healthy body equals a healthy mind. And so I believe, and with the PD that we've done as a whole staff and my own personal training and readings in this area, I've come to terms that wellness just isn't about being fit and healthy, but it's about one's spiritual journey to make sure that that's in connection and happens all the time. Obviously, to ensure that one's physical wellness happens all the time, one's emotional wellness, finances have to be sound and well-maintained, social wellness, intellectual wellness. So there are a range of areas that actually encompass and make up our wellness and well-being journeys. But definitely the healthy body, healthy mind as a starting point, I think, for us as principals and leaders and managers in schools and teachers as well. I think it's critical that we do look after the physical side, because that will allow us to nurture the mental side at the same time.
Thanks for that explanation. So what do you think would be the most important first step you would advise principals to take to sustain their well-being?
Diane, as I stated earlier, I think time is the critical factor. We and people new to the job, those who've been serving for an extended period of time, will quickly realise that the principal job is really all time consuming, and so one really has to build in a time component for that. I for myself have chosen to build in a morning time component because of the busyness of work life after normal school hours, the admin component which comes with the job, meeting with parents, meeting with staff, meetings that take place after hours, night events, night meetings. So I think one really has to be quite disciplined in finding that time component for oneself. So I wake up around 20 to 5 in the mornings, and some people might say, come on, Anton, you need to be sleeping at that time, mate. But 20 to 5 is my wake-up time. I do a morning devotion on my own and then get ready for my morning of exercise. So that's a time component that I have built in quite explicitly in my daily routine. And many an afternoon I drive home at 5 o'clock or at 6 o'clock and I think, I'm so glad I don't have to go out and exercise now, and those sorts of things. I think people have to find something that they really enjoy doing. It doesn't have to be exercise. So things like cooking, reading, camping, if watching Netflix is your thing, do that. If gaming is your thing, find, you know, that half hour block, that 45 minute block, but find something that is a distraction from the day-to-day rigors of work life. I think that's critically important. But that time component, Diane, I think is really the key element to it. We've got to build that time into our daily routine.
So you've talked about time management, you've talked about physical health, you've talked about having your own interests. What about the medical side of things? Is a medical checkup part of this process as well?
I think it's critical. So my recommendation is when it comes around to birthday time, booking an annual checkup. I know that we hear these things about when we turn 50 or 60, go for this, go for that. But I think, you know, even for our younger colleagues who are principals and early year managers, et cetera, I would say that, you know, every year around your birthday, it's an easy time to remember. Go and do an annual checkup every year. And very importantly, make sure that they include some blood screening tests as well, because just taking your heartbeat or your pulse, et cetera, could indicate that you're traveling okay. But we know, you know, it's the operations inside our bodies that are critical to our well-being. So, yeah, just building that annual checkup and make sure that there are some blood tests that go with that as well.
Can you expand a little bit more on what you mean by work-life balance? You've touched on a little bit there, guaranteeing some time for yourself. We hear it a lot in relation to senior leadership. How do you think this could be achieved?
We've started changing the terminology at St. Paul's when we talk about wellness and work-life balance. We actually talk about work quality and life quality. I think many people try and equate time put into work to time I've got to put into my time away from the workplace. And obviously there just aren't enough hours to actually do both exceptionally well. And so I would suggest that one brings the word quality into the mix, because if you are doing your work well and it's a quality process and not quantity, and what you do away from the workplace in terms of switching off, regenerating, recharging the batteries, as long as that's a quality process as well, then I think that that one's on a healthy journey. I try and have an early afternoon, and this does slip up from time to time, but I endeavour to take an early afternoon at least once a week. So I do that on a Thursday afternoon. My PA books no meetings, et cetera, and I actually leave campus at 3:30 on a Thursday afternoon. Obviously, if there's a major emergency, I will hang back and support the staff that may be working through those processes. But every year at my opening address, I actually announce to the staff that I'll be off campus from 3:30 on a Thursday afternoon. And I encourage them, away from obviously meeting schedule times, to also find an afternoon. My wife, who's a fellow teacher, she takes the same afternoon away from her workplace. We normally travel in one car on that day, and I pick her up on my way home, and we may just go for a walk in the park. We may go and have a coffee together, etc. So that's definitely one recommendation that I can bring to other principals and leaders. As an executive team at St. Paul's, we also take an RDO once a term, and we build that in around a Friday. So we obviously look at our school calendar. We ensure that we have at least two office managers in place, so myself and one of the DPs, or the DP and the head of teaching and learning, who can manage any student behaviour matters, any parent inquiries, etc. But once a term, each exec member takes an RDO, and we create a long weekend for ourselves. And the golden rule is that, you know, we wouldn't really try and contact the person who's on the on their RDO, and we encourage that person not to check emails on the day, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all about building in, as I said, it's about building in these time components to ensure that one does actually step away and break the cycle and the rigors and the demands of what the job brings every day.
There's some really good structural tips there as well. What sort of professional support do you think is helpful for principals?
Look, very, very important to have a colleague principal, and this is something that I experienced with my first principalship in New Zealand. I had a principal up the road who was part of a state school cluster, a very strong state school cluster, and he reached out to me from the get-go, and he was someone who I could catch up with on a regular basis during my time in Queensland. LEQ is quite big on that as well, that we actually find a principal colleague. And that principal colleague is just a phone call away, someone who you can catch up with either face-to-face or via phone call on a regular basis. I think that when, and we know that the principal's job can be quite a lonely journey, so when we do catch up with other principals, it's okay to talk about what's not working, because I think we all understand that it's not a sign of weakness. Where I think if we had those conversations within our workplaces, we'd always wonder, you know, is that staff member or are those staff members thinking that I'm not managing the pace of the role? So definitely finding a principal colleague. I think if one's feeling quite overwhelmed by the job, very important to go and seek quality professional supervision. Speaking for myself, I have on occasion during my time at St. Paul's, I've also gone and seen a counsellor. There are some great Christian counselling services out there. And again, just pick up the phone, call colleagues and say, look, who do you know in the network that I can sit and debrief with on a regular basis? I'm aware of some principal colleagues in Queensland who every term break will go and check in and have some great supervisory work done with them. We just debrief about the term, work, colleagues, home life, if that's what's required. And again, I think that's just healthy to put it out there and have someone who's trained in that space to actually give us some feedback and some tips moving forward.
Would you see your principal colleague as a mentor or as more of a buddy?
I think it could go both ways. I've operated on the buddy line with a previous principal colleague, and then I've also had a principal colleague who was definitely a mentor. So I suppose it will come down, Diane, to what one's looking for at that point in time. I think we all know who our very learned and wise principal colleagues are. And if one feels that's the journey one requires, you know, pick up the phone at the start of a school year and reach out to that colleague and say, look, I just need a mentor in this space. I'm struggling with area A at my school, and I'm going to ask for you to just give me further guidance, strategies, tips. I'd love to spend a day or a week or whatever in your school doing some tracing, shadowing, and pick up some tips, or just to have a principal colleague who one can catch up with face-to-face on a regular basis. I think the phone call away is a very healthy option, but I think even healthier is to have someone who one can actually sit down with, have a beer with, wine with, and actually just have that face-to-face conversation. It just makes it authentic, it makes it real life.
It's also a great opportunity to share experiences, and through sharing, learning about how different people approach different ideas as well. And I'm sure that would be extremely useful under those circumstances.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the more we speak to each other as principals, the more we come to realise that what's playing out in my fishbowl is playing out in everyone else's fishbowl at the same time. So that's a great affirmation in itself, and I think that gives one peace of mind, and it's, I suppose, food for the soul as well, to a degree, to know that the school down the road or this Lutheran school who's the high flyer in our neighbourhood is actually struggling with exactly the same issues that we have in our school as well.
It's quite reassuring, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Finally, Anton, are there any other tips you have to support principals and their well-being?
Diane, I would suggest away from some sort of exercise regime and obviously a healthy spiritual journey, to have a hobby or an activity away from school life as well. So something that one can pick up on the weekend. It could, as I said, it could be gardening. It could be a hiking club that one's in, involved with. I think I did raise previously, you know, be involved in a cooking group, a dance troupe, a choir. So try and find a hobby where you actually connect with people from other professions as well. I think sometimes as educators, we get caught up in educational world. And when we do meet with those colleagues, you know, as much as one wants to socialize, the conversation does turn to education. We'll try and solve their school's problem. They'll try and solve our school's problem. We'll try and solve the educational problems and matters of the world. So I think finding a hobby is critically important. The other thing is pack away technology. And I've been quite disciplined with that. So when I go out and exercise, or I spend quality time with my wife, either on that Thursday afternoon or when we are together, we both ensure that we leave our phones either in the car or leave our phones at home. So when we are out walking, there's no distraction of something buzzes and it's someone sending something on Facebook or on Snapchat or there's an email coming in. So I think it's critically important that we actually step away from technology. Every term break, I try and get away from the office for at least 5 days. And during those 5 days, I will try not to work through any emails. And look, when I get back to the office, if there are 153 emails waiting for me, at least I've been able to recharge well enough to face them and work through whatever is in that sort of content. The end of year break, which is obviously a lot longer, I try and, again, for an entire four-week period, turn off my email function. So I'm not aware of what's coming in. Obviously, I leave a message behind that I'm currently on leave and will be returning to the office on this and that date. And that's possibly another tip. You know, every time you do step away from the office, be it for a long weekend, if you are going to build that RDO into your term once a term, make sure your IT department, or if you are skilled enough to do that, actually loads that onto your profile. So when people send you an email on the Friday morning, straight away, they see you out of the office and will be returning on Monday, the 12th of November again. And immediately the person who's trying to chase you for an answer yesterday realizes, well, I've now got to wait until Monday to get the answer, or I've got to contact the school and see if the school can help me with what I'm looking for. So definitely pack away technology. I think that's part of the, and it's one of the wellness areas that we've looked at as a staff. All the research is telling us that that's one of the reasons why we are all feeling quite overwhelmed and overworked, is because it's become 24/7. You know, we take work home with us, even though we say we're not working at home, but we all check our emails before we go to bed, or at 7 o'clock at night. And in the morning, it's the first thing that we look at. You know, has that email come in, or you see that email at 7:15 while you're having breakfast, and it's a fairly contentious issue. And so you're a bit stressed before you even arrive at work and start your work day. So, yeah, just packing away technology is definitely something I would strongly encourage.
Anton, thank you very much. It's great to hear some really useful tips on how to manage a leadership role, a leadership position that is really quite time-consuming, quite demanding, and a role where you really need to be present for those people around you. And I think the sorts of things that you've shared with us will help people to actually be well and be present at the same time. So I really appreciate your time and your insights today. Thank you.
You're welcome, Diane. No, you're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Diane.
If you enjoyed this podcast, check out the LEA website, where you'll find more podcasts on a range of topics for anyone interested in leading in Lutheran education.